Good morning and welcome to Manna at Lighthouse. I'm Pastor Ron saying thank you for joining me today. We're going to continue looking at Proverbs chapter 25 and in particular verse 5. But first we need to pray. So won't you join me as we pray. Lord, I thank you so very much for your love. For without it, we would be lost. And your love isn't just something that you have as a feeling for us. No, Lord, your love was the greatest verb action of all time. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the love that we acknowledge, that we keep before us. Because, Lord, that's where we keep things right, is recognizing what you have done for us, and Lord, that our love for you would continue to increase. So Lord, as we look at this passage today and you speak to our hearts, we say yes and amen, Lord. Capture our thoughts, our hearts, our minds. Lord, draw us near to you. Oh, that we would be embraced by you, and for some, that they would come to know you as their Lord and their Savior. Thank you, Jesus, as we ask your blessing now. In your name we pray. Amen. I don't know if you remember this or not from last week, but in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 5, I said that there were many applications for this verse. In fact, it says, "Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness." Well, the thing that we looked at last week was how important it is for us to be quick to address sin in our own lives, to guard and protect this relationship that we have with Christ. Not that it's going to go away, but we don't want things impeding our hearts, the conviction of sin and that continues to be present in our lives. No, we want to confess that sin that we might be free and walk in the unity of fellowship with Christ, no obstruction whatsoever. But I want to read it again today because I want to talk to you about a future application of this same verse. It says, "Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness." So this throne that we're talking about, this future event, is actually occurs after the second coming and at the beginning of what's called the thousand-year millennial reign. Whoa, those might be foreign terms for some of you. And so what is that? Well, as we recognize, there's difficulty that happens. And eventually God says, okay, enough. And he takes his church home to be with him. That's called the rapture of the church, or the harpazo, the violent snatching away, to be absent. So we are with the Lord in the clouds forever, for eternity, right? But then there's a seven-year period of time. It's called the tribulation. And that's the difficulty time where many will die. In fact, a quarter of the people that are living will die, and we thought that the pandemic was bad as nothing in comparison to this. But men will harden their heart, but not all men. There will be many who will come unto salvation during that time period, but yet their lives are going to be threatened because for those who profess Christ as king, they're going to be subject to being beheaded. Oh, there's a whole nother topic for us to look at, but not today, for another day. But the tribulation is a difficult time to be in and to survive through. And so then we're going to look at what then happens is the second coming of Christ is at the end of the tribulation period of time. And he will do something that we're going to talk about today, and that's the separation of the sheep's and the goats. And so then he begins this thousand-year millennial reign. And so let me read that to you from Revelation chapter 20. And it says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the pit, and shut it, and sealed it over him, so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were ended." And at the end, and that then he must be released for a little while. That's another subject as well, but not for today. So this thousand-year millennial reign is where Christ restores the earth. He's in Jerusalem. on his throne, ruling and reigning. But what happens is as we look at this passage back in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 5, it says that take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Well, what is that? Well, if we go to Matthew chapter 25, we can read and we discover that the Son of Man comes with his angels. And so we know that it's at the second coming of Christ, and he's going to separate things. So let me read that to us today. And it says, when verse 31, so when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all his angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. So that's the one speaking of in Jerusalem. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And so all the people that have survived through the tribulation period of time, these are the people that we're talking about, and they're going to be brought to him. And this is what happened. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So this is no surprise. This isn't something God just thought of. No, this has been the plan all along. And it says, for I was hungry, and you gave me food, and I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these my brothers, those who have trusted in Christ, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in a prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So what separates that? Is it just a choice that man makes? What I'm going to suggest to you today is that it's not whatsoever, because it's something that God says, I'm going to provide opportunity for all men to come unto me and be saved. And so what's happening here? As we look at what it means to come to Christ, to surrender our lives to Christ, it says in John 1, 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So that's our heavenly birth, and it's done by receiving him. It's an act of faith. That's affirmed by Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, that no man should boast. And then it goes on and it says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has got this plan, and he has planned a purpose for the people that seek after him, that surrender their lives to him, and he fills them. And so he gives them a heart similar to Christ. This is found in Philippians chapter 2. And it says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any of affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. See, that's the heart of God. That's the heart that he gives to us. That's the mind that he gives to us. And so the point behind all of that is that God has a plan for all of mankind to receive him, to put their trust in him. You see, Christ is to receive Christ is, it's not a church. It's not a man. It's not some New Age idea or philosophy that you can become a God. It's none of those things. No, it's Christ and Christ alone. You can ask people like Lee Strobel, C.S. Lewis, Josh McDowell, who tried to prove Christ is false. His resurrection is false. And what are they? They became followers of Christ. They became preachers of Christ. He's the one who paid our guilty sentence on a cross for our sin so that we could be forgiven. He's the one who rose from the grave, conquering the death on our behalf so that we too, at the moment of our death, can maybe absent from the body and present with Christ. Jesus separates those who receive him from those who don't. He is the one that we should want to receive today. You can receive him today. You can ask him to forgive you for your sins. You can invite him to be your Lord and Savior. He's on the other side of the doorway of your heart knocking. And he's saying today, won't you allow me to come in? It's us that have to reach out and open the door and invite Christ into our lives. And it takes a step of faith, and he does the rest. And for eternity, you will rejoice in the blessing of his love. God bless you all, and thank you so much for joining me today.